Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Puzzled Minds Podcast. Our guest today is a really good friend of both of ours. His name is Vince, aka Vince Chum.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Like I said, yeah, I guess everyone could please give him a warm welcome. Today's topic is brought to you by the letter V for virtual reality. Today we'll be talking about the uses of virtual reality and things you may have to worry about whenever we, maybe fully submerge ourselves in it. So to start, do any of you guys have any experience with virtual reality?
I have the kind of like mediocre experience with it. Like the first time I experienced any sort of VR was I think back in 2009 when the first Avatar came out. Not the bullshit one, the M. Night Shyamalan one. I'm talking about the actual Michael Bay one, the one that was good. When they first introduced like the 3D glasses, and now it's supposed to be almost like virtual reality is supposed to make everything seem like it's coming at you. That at first,
yeah.
What about you, Vince?
So I guess what's your definition of virtual reality? Is it like submersing yourself into like a different quote unquote world, or just like having yourself surrounded by like a different, I guess, like, because the first time I experienced it was probably, I don't know if you would count like the things that would have like the museums and stuff where you put like a box over your face and it's like a app on your phone.
Oh.
And you just look around and you see like yourself in like a different kind of environment.
I guess
what I described was more augmented reality. So I think what this is talking is more virtual reality where
you
almost think it's similar to the environment that you're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess that was my first definition. The definition we should probably start off with that, I guess, is just putting yourself in another world besides the one that we're physically in, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it almost like convincing your senses that that is the world you're in. Like basically, example of like the Matrix, like everyone's seen the Matrix where they couldn't distinguish like being in the, you know, they hooked up to all the machines versus like the actual world around them. There's to it. Like, I mean, obviously back then there were like the Oculus Rift and things like that didn't exist. So that is a true example of virtual reality, or, you know, like Ready Player One, that Steven Spielberg movie where like they're completely immersed. Like there are tiers to it, but I think the basic level would be that your environment looks real enough for your senses to be a little bit confused.
Yeah. So I actually kind of want to talk about that a little bit later. In the sense of are people who use it when they're kind of young, like they're in the children, is that going to kind of affect them with their like cognitive development, I guess? But, you know, we'll get that a little bit later. So like what uses have you guys seen with virtual reality? You know, mostly it's for video games and stuff like that, but have you guys seen anything in terms of like other uses? For instance, there's like phobias that we can treat, you know, kind of like gradual increasing doses of whatever it is. So for instance, there's somewhere in, I think, West Virginia University or something like that. University of West Virginia. And they have something special with the VR. And so if you had any like public speaking, like phobias, so you could go, I don't know if you have to go specifically to this particular university, but, you know, they have something where they can help you with your phobia of public speaking. So, you know, they start off with a crowd and I guess they're rude or something like that. And during the whole public speaking thing, I guess these virtual reality people like throw like paper balls at you. And I don't know if that's just me, but if I was afraid of public speaking and people threw stuff at me, that's probably not the way to go about it. Because do people actually really throw stuff at you in reality?
No, that's just cinemas.
And I guess it's just like the whole, you know, for me, if something like that happened, I wouldn't even want to talk at all. Like I would probably be like,
the worst that I've seen is like you'll get booed off stage or the podium, but I don't think someone's actually gonna throw anything at you. I think that's just something that we've, you know, seen on TV that happens a lot, like in fiction.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, you know, if that were to happen to me, I'd probably like hit up Elon Musk and be like, hey, you know, you were talking about Neuralink and how we don't have to talk anymore. I kind of, you know, like I need to have that now. And so imagine the conversation you had with Elon. If it was like, hey, you remember how you said that we were supposed to have Neuralink? Yeah, I need that now. And he's like, yeah, it's not ready yet. He's like, well, I kind of need it. I just got humiliated in front of all these people and they threw stuff at me. And he's like, really? And then you'll be like, yeah, well, not really. It was more so of like paper balls, and they weren't really actual paper balls. They were virtual paper balls.
The point of using it to like overcome a traumatic experience is that you have to experience that something in the worst degree, right? So if you have a fear of falling, the simulation would have to be something extreme. Like you would have to be like falling, right? From a crazy height. So public speaking, I think the way to get over it is like you use the example of getting stuff thrown at you. Even though like pretty much that really doesn't happen in real life. Maybe if you're like a stand-up comedian and you're really bombing and run around like a drunk crowd or something, maybe that can happen. But if you can get through even that extreme scenario, no matter how unlikely, something lesser that's more of unlikely to happen in real life would be nothing to you. So I think that's kind of like the purpose of it. And I do think that eventually, I mean, that's kind of how you can almost like, we can get over like certain traumatic things, like people that have PTSD or something like that. Maybe you'd be able to kind of like, I don't know, help them like, I guess, calm, you know, their minds and stuff like that. But it has multiple applications. I'm just curious to see if people are going to prefer that over real life.
So speaking of that, so what if, you know, there's people that are using it for like surgery, simulation, I guess. And so I think it's somewhere in Stanford. They have a lab that allows them to, I guess, quote, practice for an upcoming operation. And so they can have, like, let's say it's like brain surgery. So they can have actual images of the actual patient. And so, you know, instead of working on a generic brain that you could probably figure out, but, you know, you've practiced on so many times, this one is catered directly to a specific patient. And so they could map it out, you know, their surgery ahead of time. So would you trust someone that's specifically trained on like a VR simulation for that, like that type of surgery?
See, that's tough to like rely on, just because like there's such precision that goes into like surgery, and unless that VR reflects that precision, like real life precision, I'd rather go with someone that, you know, went the regular route to perform or to become a surgeon.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Vince. Like, it's one of those things where if that VR simulation were extremely realistic, like let's say, for example, like it has even complications that could happen and things like that, then I don't think that it would be that bad of an idea, because at the end of the day, there's certain things that you can't practice unless you're actually doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in a VR simulation and that thing is just as realistic as, you know, performing on a real life patient, I wouldn't see why someone would have an issue with it if it is as realistic, like in terms of like simulations where complications happen, simulations where, let's say, someone for whatever reason is like bleeding out or whatever complication could happen, and you have the actual real lifetime, like, okay, this person's going to die in this VR simulation if you don't get it done. A person that can nail that would be probably able to handle it in real life, depending on how realistic it is. But if it's just a matter of like, playing that board game like Surgeon just in a VR environment, like you kind of have to experience all things going wrong to know how to really make things go right. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know like the depth of how accurate it is, but for me at least, whenever I see like VR, I always think of those like blocky videos that we see like on YouTube. Whenever you type in like VR simulation, it's like really, really blocky and it's not, I guess, precise, you know?
I mean, I've seen some pretty crazy VR. I don't know if you guys have used like the Oculus Rift and stuff like that. Like, VR technology is getting up there. It's just not at the level that we want it to be. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I went to San Diego Comic Con, my actual cousin has like one of the latest models of the Oculus Rift. And I played like this. I played this game where essentially you're walking out on a building ledge, right? And you're walking on a piece of wood. We were chilling in a room, but for whatever reason, my senses, like when your senses are fooled, they're entirely fooled. It goes to show how vulnerable your senses are. I knew that I was sitting in a living room, but when I was walking across that a virtual board, I was acting as if I was on the edge of a building. Like I was, my heart rate was elevated. I was actually scared, but I knew for a fact So I think that things are getting better, but whether it's a good thing or not, it's actually kind of a debate, because you can imagine playing something like Call of Duty with the graphics they have right now. Like, you know, we're seeing it on a TV, so you're kind of removed. You're not completely immersed in the situation. But imagine if you were, like, even with the graphics we have now, like 4K, if you were in that situation, most people would have heart attacks seeing a grenade explode. Yeah. Running. That's or the issue with VR.
Or taking a gun to the head, like, you would just spaz out. Like, there's a lot of repercussions that come to that, too.
Yeah, you because you realize that your brain controls your perception. So even though you may know it's not real, if it feels real, like, you can have it, your heart will stop.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point when you say that your senses are kind of, I guess, put in a different realm, if that makes sense. You know, so for instance, if you think about like VR porn, like the two senses that I guess a lot of people rely on, like ears or sight and hearing, like those two are in a different realm now. They're not in the actual realm. They're in the realm of virtual reality. So
VR porn is, I think VR porn is more reliant on its sight and touch, because that's the reason why you start seeing people making silicone molds. Because no matter how realistic it looks, there's still a heavy component of physical intimacy is the physicalness of it. So I could have it, if I see someone in my face doing all these things to me, but I don't feel it, it doesn't really matter. It will just get you aroused. But in terms of actually simulating a response as if you were having sex with a person, you do need that physical aspect. And that's why VR porn, to me, I think it's like, it's a double-edged sword, because if you get to the point where you can get that same level of stimulation digitally, and all I have to do is put on a headset, you're going to see a significant part of the population being like, okay, fuck that. I'm not even going out there and trying to get it in real life. I'm just about to put on, you know, put on these head goggles and put somebody smacking some silicone ass.
Finally paying for porn.
That's exactly what will end up happening, because, I mean, I do think that going back to what I was saying, I do think our senses are not as impenetrable as we think they are. Mm. Like, virtual pornography is already pretty convincing right now. The only aspect of it that has to be, I guess, upgraded is how do I connect, you know, what I'm seeing to what I'm experiencing. That's why they have like all the like little plush toys and all the things like that. And it's getting there. Give it like another 10 years. I guarantee you, it's going to be just pretty similar to the real life thing.
Can you imagine if like you were in VR doing whatever the fuck you were doing, and then someone opens the door? Like, that's probably the phobia that you would need VR to.
You just need to be in like a dark room, just bolt locked, like 15 locks on the door, and just start whatever simulation you want. It could honestly like probably satiate some people, and at the same time push some people deeper into their depravity. Hmm.
Do you see, like, in the near future where people just get addicted to VR?
It'd be worse.
And, like, just lose, like, sense of reality itself?
You already see that now. You already heard stories about people, like, I remember I heard stories about people that are playing, like, you know, I think it was Pokemon back in the day where people play for 48 hours straight. Something wild like that. And or people like, oh, no, it was World of Warcraft. It wasn't Pokemon. World of Warcraft, this kid, I think it was a South Korean kid in a cafe, played for 2 days straight and died of, I forgot what happened. Like, did he have a seizure, or he had a stroke or something? Hmm. You already see people already taking something that's not even virtual reality, getting addicted to it and dying already now. So what more now when you have something that is as realistic as your real life? Because, I mean, most gamers are escapists. That's the fundamental medium that we all have, is that we like to escape to these worlds that, like, you know, bring us joy, no matter what game you like playing. So if you get to the point where Ready Player One becomes something that is pretty attainable and all I have to do is put on goggles, you're going to get some people that will give up in their real life, especially if your life is not where you want it to be.
So
actually, before we go on to the next subject, my friend asked me a question that actually goes along with that a couple months ago. Like, say, imagine that you know, your life's not that great. It's kind of shitty, but yet it's still real. It's organic. It's, you know, actual. Or would you rather have like a virtual reality life where you can have whatever you want and you can only choose one?
I feel like a majority of people, if you're the person that has this quote shitty life and you could obtain another life where you can be whatever you want, do whatever you want, why would you not pick that? You know, like, if you find happiness in that virtual reality where everyone respects you, everyone laughs at all your jokes, or whatever it is, you know? I mean,
there's a part of it that we need to know it's real. That's why, I don't know if you guys have watched Westworld. That's like one of the major themes in that show. It's where you have a park that pretty much, the premise of it, it's like you basically have a park that actually, it's like, it's not even virtual reality. They've built an entire separate world, right? So when you immerse yourself into it, most people know it's not real. But you see some people in that show that lose themselves to that world. So let's say, for example, like you become this whole different person in this virtual reality world, but you can't be that person in real life. I would argue that has a detrimental effect, because unless you plan on, I mean, you can't stay in that world 24 hours. You're going to physically die if you try to.
Well, yeah, so that kind of brings up the whole point with your senses as well, in the sense of time. Because I think, and they had mentioned that in the show, that time in there is different from time outside. And so do you think that people's sense of time will also be messed up too? For instance, there's an episode in that Black Mirror that that Vince had told me to watch. It's called Playtest. I think it's like season 3, something like that.
I remember that one where the guy goes insane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, you know, he had said that for instance, like an hour in VR could be like 1 second in real time. Do you think that our sense of time would be different or distorted if we stay in there too long?
I mean, that's like, that's like saying if you get like, if you're having like a great time playing a video game or actually doing anything right now, you just lose track of time. Mm. So it just depends on how you perceive it, your enjoyment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how immersive it is, because if it's like, you know, when they say like Vince was saying, like if you're having a great time, I mean, time tends to go by a lot quicker, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when things suck, you know, well, you're stuck at work and, you know, you're like, ah, damn, you know, look at the clock and it feels like, you know, 3 years have gone by.
Or like to deal with playing The Last of Us 2. Oh, I got to go to work now.
Exactly. Blazing through it. Like I didn't realize I was putting in like 5 hour days, man, every single time I was playing that game. So I think it depends, because honestly, your sense of reality and time also has to do with your senses. So if you have something that basically, it really could, I honestly do think like what you're saying, Don, could happen. Like you could be, like there's an anime called Sword Art Online where they kind of almost delve into that topic where basically the people in that world, their sense of time is just distorted because, I mean, you're in a virtual world. Like, I mean, the sun is not going up and down as it is in real life and stuff like that. So I do think to a certain degree, you get kind of confused. Like, you come out that you go in the morning and then you come out and then you're like, wait, it's like nighttime and now right now. But in that world, I think it would fuck with your senses depending on how intense how
developed it is, I guess, like the virtuality realm.
Yeah. It just depends how extreme it would be.
So let's go back to that whole topic of, or maybe we didn't even talk about, but essentially with children using virtual reality. So, you know, when they're younger, their brains are still developing and stuff like that. And this is going to sound like I'm very anti video game. And I promise you I'm not. I'll tell you right now that I'm not anti video game. But, you know, so people, you know, when children use it at a young age, will they be able to tell the difference between virtual reality and the real world? And the reason why I say that is because, you know, like cognitive development consists of 4 stages, and I'm not going to bore you guys with all the stages. And if you want to look it up, you can look up 4 stages of cognitive development. And it's, I think by a psychologist by the name of John Piaget or something like that. And so for instance, there's a stage called the pre-operational stage, and that's where kids view the world like symbolically. And I think that's from age 2 to 6 or 7, and obviously no one at 2 is going to be using fucking VR. But if you go to the latter end of that range, like 7, I would assume that there are some, you know, people or some children that are about 7-year-olds that are playing video games.
Well, look at how young kids get onto things like cell phones or use like, you know, these like little games to teach them things. I mean, in the future, if VR, let's say we live in a future that, you know, technology is like as extreme as you see in some of these like cyberpunk or, you know, futuristic shows, I very well see like that replacing like standard levels of education. Like you wouldn't see kids, you know, may not even be going to school. Maybe your professor is some 3D hologram sitting in your living room teaching all these things. Yeah, it's not, I mean, we're not too far off from stuff like that, but in terms of stunting their development, I think it would screw up more of their knowing how to actually interact with people in real life. That is the only thing I see getting kind of jacked up, because certain things like a classroom environment, part of being in school is interacting with other people also as well too. That's the difference between how we always make those jokes about kids that are homeschooled versus kids that go to a regular school. There's always a difference, right? It's always like the kid at home, so you're kind of like, I don't know what's up with that kid, but there's something different about it, you know?
You could have VR classes now, probably.
That's also a thing as well, too. I mean, ironically enough, going back to Ready Player One, that's one of the beauties of that book is that in that world, like they go to like VR schools, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Purposely put them in a classroom setting, because that is a very important part of human beings. We're not meant to be social creatures. I mean, in non-antisocial creatures, we actually do need to be interactive with other people. That's why one of the coolest things you can do a person is put them in solitary confinement. That's why people go crazy, because your brain is not meant to be by itself all the time, no matter to what degree. So
he was not a fan of quarantine, everybody.
quarantine. All jokes aside, there are people that have killed themselves in quarantine.
You see what I'm saying? It's true.
Goes to show, like, I mean, VR is one of those things that could be very tricky, because I do think it could have a monumentally good effect on society. It'd be pretty cool to be like, hey, I'm going to imagine having a Zoom call like we're having, you know, right now, right? But exactly, you guys are in the room. Like, there are like holograms of you guys in the room, or we're walking around in a digital, you know, like, I don't know, world. That would be insane. But then you take the other side where maybe people are kind of like, oh, man, my life sucks. I'm just going to always devote my time to just being in the 3D, you know, in this 3D world. And I think if anything the good that happens, human beings tend to abuse it, no matter what it is.
Yep. So I guess, I mean, so my question was like, do you think that, I mean, like everything else in the world, which can influence how you grow up, like the nature versus environment question or whatever it is, do you think that, you know, having interactions with the virtual reality world at such a young age where they're cognitively developing, do you think that'll affect them in a, I don't want to say negative way, but shape how they view the world, just because they won't be able to, you know,
100%. Yeah. Cause in a virtual like setting, like usually things are like ideal, perfect the way that you want it to be. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a physical like presence, or like even say like a classroom, I mean, things are gonna be different. Some of your friends not be at school that day. Some people might be sick. You might see bullies around, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you're expecting a perfect world in VR when you could do VR, which I think will hinder your growth as a person overall.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like adversity is a part of development, and VR is always ideal situations, like Vince was saying. I mean, that'd be a pretty intense real VR situation where you have like VR bullies. Like, what setting do you put the bully on? Like level 1, like just kind of puts into a locker to level 10 where you're getting thrown off bridges. I don't know. There are certain things that I think, if anything, balance is the key. Like if you go into, that's why whenever you see like these shows, like these cyberpunk shows, it's always in a dystopian future. Anything to a extreme degree tends to not go positively. So the world becomes too much about going to these, you know, digitally rendered worlds, I think it's going to have an adverse effect.
So do you think that we should have like kind of, not regulations, but we should have, like, you know, for instance, like some games are rated R, so only people who are age 18 are, quote, able to buy it,
yeah,
and play it. Do you think we should have those same restrictions with VR?
100%.
So what age or what restrictions do you think that we should have on those? And that's, I guess restrictions has a negative connotation.
Well, parameters, I guess, is the word.
Yeah.
The word you'd probably want to use. I just think about it, because if with anything, we always want, like, think about the way we look at games. Like the games I love playing are the ones that get more and more realistic. I just got done playing The Last of Us 2. And I kid you not, the way that game is, it will alter my mood because of how realistic and how intense the story is. So I can only imagine if I played that game if I was in that game.
In that world, yeah.
I would legitimately have PTSD. Mm. Like that game is, there's certain games where I I cannot imagine being really in there, because remember, going back to your senses, like there's certain senses that are easily fooled. Like what you see visually or what you hear can be easily fooled. Like think about when you're playing a video game with surround sound, or even watching a movie surround sound, you feel like you're in this situation. You clearly see that you're not. But if you put speakers in the right way, guess what? You've already fooled your hearing. Or, for example, think about the last, I don't know if you guys have ever done hallucinogens. I have. I've seen some shit that I know is not real. I remember I drank Four Loko and did mushrooms back in college, and my ass went to the fourth dimension. I was doing shit that did not, I knew was not there, but this goes to show how easily your vision can be fooled.
So we need an experiment now. We need hallucinogens and then VR, the Oculus Rift, is what we need to do. Are you up for that?
I almost did that one time, and I remember I played a I think it was Dead Space. They had like a mobile.
Is that the one where you're in space and like all these like aliens come out and pop at you?
Yeah, exactly. It's a survival game, and I played it when I was high as hell after eating an edible. I fell for the cliche like it's edible and shit, and then 30 minutes later I was like, oh my god! But it's one of those things where I won't wish it on anyone, because once your senses are fooled and then you're seeing some stuff that is out of this fucking world, I do think most people don't handle it well. There are very few people that can be high as hell and then playing something that looks real. Like imagine, you think about even things that people talk about. Like imagine, like I always say, like I would love to experience a Transformers movie. I think that would be the ultimate world to actually be in, right? So imagine I did a simulation where you're under an Autobot at this Decepticon and it's throwing people through like half of New York City and all that stuff. That is cool when you see it from a distance on a TV screen. But if you're in that and you think it's real, you're going to have a heart attack.
Would you want to be the Autobot, or would you want to be the actual person like in the
action? I'm not talking about being either of the Autobots or Decepticons. I'm talking about being a human being seeing that stuff.
Okay. I see. Mm-hmm.
That's the part where I don't think people take into account. But like, it's cool until you realize that how easily like, your brain can be fooled. Like, how many times have people had nightmares and you wake up in a cold sweat and your heart's beating all that stuff? Imagine now you can't wake up from your, oh shit, this is actually something that I think is happening. I think that's just asking for a recipe for disaster.
What if people are listening to this and they come up with a new torture method where they give people hallucinogens and then they, quote, put VR on them, so they don't know if it's real or not,
and put them in like horrible conditions, kind of like that Black Mirror episode you watched.
Yeah, like what if that's a torture method? Like that's how people break your brain.
Pass on that, bro. That's just
that seems like something that the government could do it right now. Maybe they're already doing it, but it seems like that's something the government would just use immediately.
That's horrible, because if you think about it, you can cause your victim to relive their worst moment in their life over and over to break them down.
100%. That's straight up torture.
Even if they know it's not real, like that you have to see it and relive it over and over, it'll just break someone down eventually.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, your mind is a pretty fragile thing.
So let's wrap this up. But let me ask you guys a question. So what if, you know, people are using the VR system and it can be hacked? So then someone who's hacking it can change, like alter the virtual world or add stuff. Like, how do you think that would go about? Can you imagine if you're just in a virtual world in your happy place and all of a sudden in the blink of an eye, like the world is flipped upside down and now you're in hell
and you're like, sounds like Sword Art, doesn't it, to deal with?
Yeah, that or Inception, more or less.
Inception, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was about to get into. I think that's exactly what would happen. I mean, anything nowadays can be hacked. Like, I'm not always smart enough to know how to do that stuff, but, like, anything can be hacked these days, man. You see something, I saw a thing the other day where a dude hacked a Tesla with a laptop. So, they're talking about this could be a potential new way people get assassinated. Imagine having a foreign person that, you know, is like, imagine someone like Edward Snowden, right? I don't think that guy's going to be taken out, like, because I'm in kind of a side now, but, like, I don't think he's going to be taken out by, like, someone going to snipe him. I think you just may see him using a piece of technology one day that's going to be his end. Maybe he's on a train or something like that, and then all of a sudden hacks, and then that train crashes. It's kind of scary that technology has left a lot of people vulnerable.
I agree. You know, yeah, it's definitely going to be hackable at some point. Like, I mean, I have a friend that had their home security camera hacked before.
See, that's terrifying, exactly. People want a smart house. You want that Tony Stark house.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's a very intelligent pervert to get into that system, and all of a sudden, someone's seeing you in the shower.
Wait, so this goes back to the whole AI thing. So let me ask you guys a question real quick, because I know we said we're going to end this. Do you guys put tape over your guys' camera? In case you guys have that weird ass dude that's like jacking off to you while you're in front of the computer.
Oh man, that's just like that FBI agent.
Yeah, I just do it so that FBI agent on the other side doesn't judge me.
I mean, yeah, like I don't know. This is the argument that everyone has. Like, are they really gonna pick you out of the 300 million people that are in here and watch you jack off? Probably not. But that chance that they do, I guess you're prepared. You know,
give them a show is what I'm gonna give them.
Yeah. but yeah, like, I mean, we've talked about like the repercussions of like virtual reality, but there's like beneficial methods too that I've seen. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen that video online that surfaced recently of the, I believe she's like a Korean mother where her daughter passed away, unfortunately. And this video game company like recreated her daughter in a VR format or VR reality world.
Ooh.
And then she got to, I guess, talk to her daughter again. I mean, she was breaking down on camera. And I mean, it was really touching, but at the same time, it was kind of eerie. Like,
it was.
It doesn't seem right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She agreed to it. So this is what she wanted.
Yeah. I guess that goes to the whole, like, and I want to play devil's advocate for this. And, you know, like, what if she never gets over the fact that her daughter who was physically here, which is now in the virtual world, what if she never gets over that? She's like, oh yeah, you know, she'll tell her friends, yeah, you know, I was hanging out with my daughter a few days ago. You know, like what if she never gets over that?
I think that's the part of the problem.
Yeah.
How people that essentially, I mean, part of, I guess, moving past trauma is, I guess, almost
acceptance.
Not acceptance and not constantly reliving it. And I do think that even though that's a very heartwarming thing, like she gets to
talk to her. See your daughter again.
Yeah, let me clarify that before I get shit on. That the whole idea was definitely touching, and I understand the benefits of it. But to play devil's advocate, that was my question.
Yeah, what looks good on paper can obviously be like detrimental to your mental health, which I feel like virtual reality can possibly lead to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that one benefit out of the
one benefit of an addiction to virtual porn and
did you watch that other Black Mirror episode I told you about, John?
No, I didn't have enough time.
That one's really good.
Is it similar?
San Junipero. It's something similar to that.
Give me like a 30-second elevator speech about it.
Well,
have you seen this video?
Are you referring to the one where the lady has her husband that passes away and they basically clone the guy?
No, this is this lady. No, there's two girls in virtual reality. They meet in virtual reality and then, you know, they start a relationship and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But she finds out that there's something more onto her than she realized. Like, she's just not a normal person.
Yeah, I mean, not to ruin it for people, but
it's been out for a while. Spoiler alert does not apply to this. I'm putting my foot down right now.
it's a good twist. I don't want to tell you, John. You have to watch it.
I mean, I'm just going to read about it anyway. So,
a lot of great episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Vince, thank you for being on here. You know, I know that you're a busy man with whatever fitness stuff that you have to do and all that. But again, thank you for being on here.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
If you like this podcast, again, smash that like button, that follow button, wherever the hell you listen to us. we are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and some other stuff that I don't want to say no one uses, but that aren't as big. So follow us on our social media. Instagram is Puzzle Minds Podcast. Our Twitter is Puzzle Minds Pod. And our email, which is puzzleminds podcast@gmail.com, where we do encourage everyone who has a topic that they want to hear us talk about, send it into an email as a email submission. Other than that, everyone stay puzzled.
Peace.
See ya.